Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
What did I hear you?
You was cleanup day, and you said you were still processing the Super Bowl, how you felt, all that went into it. The benefit of time now, what perspective you have on what you accomplished?
We're here talking. Talking media, talking about the 2025 to 26 season.
Well, that we are. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, we're live today from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. Phillies and Cubs coming up in a little bit. We'll have leading off for you. It's a big day for Dave Dombrowski, by the way. Lizardo on the mound. They need a bounce back out of him. And the starter for the Cubs is a guy the Phillies traded away a few years ago to Chicago to get a relief pitcher during 2022. You're right over there?
Yeah. I was just laughing about or thinking about how just a year ago, how much the Super Bowl changes everything, because Jalen didn't really say a whole lot in that press conference, but we're clinging to that. We're talking about it, because last year he was dry and didn't say a whole lot.
When we were upset.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole him not backing Sirianni thing a year ago.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's almost like when you go out and if you're a wealthy man and you tell corny jokes and all the ladies laugh at them
because you're rich.
Yeah.
Well,
kind of same thing.
I mean, I brought this up yesterday when we brought up the Chris Sims list, right, yesterday?
Yeah.
And he had him ranked 10th on the list. And I think that's too low. I'd rank him higher than that.
Yeah.
But I said, if you look at that list at just the end of the regular season, I don't think it's very controversial.
Totally agree.
You add in the playoffs, and especially the title game and Super Bowl, and it's like, how do you have him so low? It's like, how much does one big thing change the whole big picture?
It does.
I mean, again, I would rank him higher than 10. I have him in that 5 to 10 range, but higher than 10 certainly. But you win the Super Bowl, and it's like, how are you behind C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert? Little things change a lot. You're right. That just listen to Jalen. He's always dry.
But it's funny. Like now,
it changes.
Yes, it's just. I just found it fat. Like that's just how life works. His jokes are funny because he's the conquering hero.
Yep. Is a Super Bowl hangover inevitable for the Eagles this season? Yes or no? It is our Twitter poll question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Hugh believes it is inevitable. I don't. 67%. You're losing this one, Hugh. 67% believe this is not inevitable. They'll have a Super Bowl hangover. Right, let's hear one more from Jalen on their experience this time. Now they've been to 2 Super Bowls as a group with him here. Experience this one compared to last one and trying to go back and do it again.
What have you noticed about the team, in the short window here of the spring workouts? Any takeaway, that you see from the team?
Too soon. Too soon. I think there's a bit of a layer of experience from everyone here and there. Even certain people that are going to fill in roles, they got experience. And so I think that's something that's very valuable long term. That doesn't make you the most mature, but it's experience and it's valuable. So I think that'll help us.
It is interesting because you're totally right that it's the way he speaks, his tone, it's basically the same thing as last year, except he's speaking on something positive, our experience off of Super Bowl, rather than Sirianni at that point. I think it was more about him not being part of the offense and being a CEO. That was more of like a, hey, this is a downgrade for him. How's he handling it? But his tone is always the same.
It's always the same. And not only that, he's still not saying anything. He's not saying a whole lot. It's just the tolerance level is a lot higher, because I can remember sitting here last year and be like, what does that mean? Or what is he talking about? You know, he was just – but I think that's a good thing. I'm not saying it as a negative.
Well,
I think
it shows he's not changing off a Super Bowl. This is who he is.
He's trying to be as even-keeled as he possibly can. So yeah, I think that's pretty significant.
I think, and look, the team takes its personality from the leaders, right? I think the way he is, and some people, he might not be everyone's cup of tea personality wise. Right? Obviously, mm-hmm. he's a good player. I think it helps them try to sustain success. He doesn't strike me as someone that when they're in the building is changing his work ethic. I think he's always the same.
Yeah, and I think that's important because, you know, being a leader of men and the intangibles that I talk about that Jalen brings to the table, I think that's important for him to be seen as the same all the time. You know, never too hot, never too cold. And I think that's one of his calming presence is one of the reasons why the guys, you know, gravitate towards him like that.
Yeah, and there's almost an inevitability that since he got here, they win a lot, right? They have not had a losing season. They're in the mix. All that kind of stuff. I'm worried about certain things in this team, losing a lot on defense, the schedule, all the new coordinator. But a hangover in terms of their mentality, I don't see it at all. I'm good with that. Will in the Northeast is up. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
What's going on?
Good morning, Will.
All right. Man, I just want to ask one question real quick. Mm-hmm. Who is the best team in the league as of today?
In what we're talking about, the NFL or baseball?
NFL. Everything.
The Eagles are the favorite today.
Okay. And who's the best quarterback right now today?
Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, I was going to probably say the same thing. I mean, I was going to say the same thing.
These are easy questions.
No, I mean, you know, like y'all keep saying Patrick Mahomes and everything, God. Man.
Yes.
Listen.
Here we go.
He hasn't done anything real good this year. Like I said,
they won 15 football games last year and got to the Super Bowl.
That's has been, man. He's a has been, man.
What did Jalen do?
He's done. He's cooked. Listen.
Did you say Mahomes is cooked? You're cooked.
Man, Patrick Mahomes, listen, I gave the blueprint how to beat him. You fork him left.
That's right.
And game over.
Wait, hold on a second. The Bucs gave the same blueprint how to beat him in 2020, and then he won two more Super Bowls after that. It's not easy to do what the Eagles did last year.
Okay, so what I'm saying is this, right? When them refs didn't blow that whistle, right, and I said, I would like the refs to swallow the whistle and let the best team win, right? Mm-hmm. What happened?
The Eagles won. They were the better team. They were better. The Eagles were better than the Chiefs last year, but what does that have to do with Mahomes?
Oh, man. All right. I'm gonna leave that alone.
Okay.
Please do.
It just seemed like y'all don't want to get this. But listen, I'm going to say this. Listen, I agree with you, Hugh. I think a couple of players is on a little high horse right now.
Uh-oh.
They're selling it. And it's okay. You know what I'm saying? But when the season starts, you know, make sure you stick to business. You know what I'm saying? But I just want to say, listen, what I said last season, it goes again for this season. It's smash mouth time, man. We taking it back in the day, man. We grounding everybody, right? But the thing is, this is what I want everybody to understand. Listen, Saquon is not going to be our savior this season. It's all on you, Jalen, and I hope you listen. And the reason why I say that, right, because I know every team is gunning to try and shut Saquon down this season, man. I mean, listen, they're going to play their defense, but the main thing is to take him out of the equation, right, and see what Jalen could do. So, Jalen, I hope you're doing your best, and I hope you up in your game this season, man, because a lot is going to depend on you, bro. A lot of people probably don't really see it, and they're just saying it because of the type of season last season. But this season, Jalen, it's all on you. Listen, Saquon had his glory, and yes, he can have it again, but a lot of it is going to depend on Jalen this season.
So, I agree with some of what you're saying, and I don't. Will, we appreciate the phone call. All right, so I do think, in general, teams are going to say, like the Super Bowl, for example, right? The Chiefs did the best job on Saquon anyone has.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm the Cowboys week one, if I'm the Chiefs week two, if I'm the Rams week three, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to almost say, Jalen,
beat us. Do beat us.
Can you do what you did in the Super Bowl every week?
Yes.
And if not, I think I have a better chance to beat you than if I let Saquon run all over me. That being said, I mean, it's not like teams weren't trying to stop Saquon during the season. This offensive line and Saquon and Jalen's running ability, it's not easy to shut this run game down. Like, even if teams try to do it, they're still going to run the ball well. That's what they've done for years. And now you add Saquon to the mix with the line and Jalen. It's hard to just stop him.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you have to be real sound in stopping the running game.
Yeah.
You have to be real sound in stopping the running game. And Jalen's going to have to adapt his game at times. And he's probably got to throw the ball a little bit more. I can tell you, just thinking about it right now, and the way that he played in the Super Bowl, there'll probably be a few teams early on say, okay, do it again.
Yep.
Let me see. Let me see if you do it
again.
Can
you do it consistently?
Yes. And that's going to be the thing, because Saquon's a catalyst. We know he going to run. You know, we know what he can do. It's going to be on Jalen to put himself in a situation where, you know, he's going to have to show teams on more than one occasion that he can cut you up in the air if need be.
And to be fair to him, last year he did it against the Bengals.
He
did it against the Steelers. He did it in the title game. He did it in the Super Bowl. It's like four huge games, four, you know, high-profile games. It was him. Like, he was the driving force.
Totally.
The other ones, though, it was Saquon. Like, that's the way last year went.
Mm-hmm. Best quarterback in the league.
What's that?
The best quarterback in the league, Joe.
Well, how did we get here? I'm saying.
But no, hold on. You had to know this was an inevitability. Like,
no, actually, this is on me. I didn't think we'd be here. I didn't think that we would just now decide he's the best quarterback in pro football. Like, there's a guy in Kansas City. I understand we just kicked his ass in the Super Bowl. Before that game, the conversation was, is he going to surpass Brady as the greatest quarterback ever?
No.
And now, all of a sudden, Jalen Hurts is
just
better.
He's better, yeah. Well, like, I saw this coming from a mile away, because it can never be enough. I didn't realize it until we did Hurts' number five thing.
Yeah.
And people were like, no, that's not good enough. He's number two. And I thought that was ridiculous. And I was like, why not at this point? He just beat Mahomes. Why not just say he's better than Mahomes at this point? Like, might as well just take it that next step. And I mean, not only did Will come on here and expect us to, because he asked us, he did a little call and response thing. He goes, who has the best quarterback in the league? And not only did he expect us to answer Jalen, he laughed when we said Mahomes.
As if I'm the crazy one.
I mean, it was preposterous.
Well, I also think the funny part to me is that NFL history is littered with these kind of moments in time where a good quarterback beats a great quarterback in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I go through just a few off the top of my head. Russell Wilson's team crushed Peyton Manning's team.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. And Russell was good. Peyton Manning's better.
Yeah.
Right? Eli Manning beat Tom Brady twice.
Yeah, no.
He's not in his class.
We've lost our minds.
I mean, I heard DeCameron this morning when they were having their debates. He brought up Phil Simms over John Elway, right, in the middle of the 80s.
Yeah.
John Elway's a lot better than Phil Simms. Like, this has happened. We have to probably go through the 59 Super Bowls. I would say off the top of my head, maybe 15 of them, the clear second quarterback in the game wins, plays better, outplays the other guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's better than him.
Well, it's this. I think that a lot of people, when you look at the history of the NFL and you look at back in the day, the teams that were winning Super Bowls, they had stellar quarterback play. Like, the quarterback was the catalyst for them most of the times winning the Super Bowl because of his ability to make plays, escapability, whatever you want to call it. But there's something that Scott Pioli told me years ago that I never forgot. He said something to the effect that, you know, when he was in New England, everybody, there's not too many Tom Brady's. He was an anomaly for the most part. But you can win with lesser quarterbacks if you put talent around them.
I mean, the Eagles are.
I
don't even think Jalen's lesser, but lesser of the two.
But lesser of the two, because when I think of lesser, I think of, with all due respect, Trent Dilfer. Because
That's as least as you can get.
Right. And Brad Johnson, like, Brad Johnson falls in that category somewhere as well. So,
yep.
That's why it's hard for me to penalize Jalen, because of the talent that he has around him.
So I think we have reached a point where I understand your point and others that it's not – maybe we shouldn't penalize Jalen. But now I also think the other side of it is we're boosting him up too much. Like, there's – again, to go back to that first list 3 weeks ago, number five is not disrespectful. In fact, if you told me with the day they drafted him that they would go to two Super Bowls with him and he'd be considered the fifth best quarterback in the NFL, Howie Roseman would have said, this is amazing. I'll take that outcome every
all
time.
Day.
But now we're at the point where I think we're going to – it's almost like we're trying to combat the hate, right, if you think Chris Simms or someone is hating, with, like, too much? Like, he's not better than Mahomes. It's okay.
That's exactly what it is, though, Joe. Because a lot of times, that's why every time that we start these conversations, in the meeting, I say, do y'all really want to have this conversation? Because it always becomes something that we don't want it to be. And it's never spoken directly, but that's how it always ends up.
Yeah.
Because we can't sit here and give Jalen his flowers and then be realistic about his individual skill set.
Yeah, we've reached illusion.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And it's unfortunate because, like I told you, I think Jalen, because of his accomplishments from last year, is the number two quarterback in the NFL behind Patrick Mahomes. And I gave the reasons why.
And we yelled at you for that.
Yeah, right. And you don't have to agree with me, but
you know,
that's – well, we know. But that's the way I perceive it. Now, you perceive it differently, but that's how I look at it.
Well, I think there's a couple things going on here. One, I don't think he's quite that high on the list. But I also believe that we have amnesia. I just think we have Jalen Hurts amnesia. So I saw this morning show. They put up this poll. Mm-hmm. For the majority of last season, I think the wording of this question is important. For the majority of last season, how would you describe Jalen Hurts' performance in the passing game? They put three options up on their poll. Great, good, or mediocre. I would have voted mediocre. For the majority of the season, I thought the passing game performance was mediocre. By the end, he played great. Right? Mm-hmm. The two biggest games, he played great. But I thought in totality, it was pretty mediocre passing game last year and Jalen's performance in it.
That might be generous. They were 29th.
Agreed. 67% voted good. But that wasn't how we talked about it during the season. We have amnesia on what happened.
Yeah.
We're remembering the end as if it was the whole story. It was a great ending. It was an amazing ending. It's one that's going to put Jalen in the history books for the franchise forever.
Yes.
And the season wasn't great.
And by the way, because I hear this a lot. And everyone's like, well, why do you penalize Jalen for having all this talent around him and a great team around him? It's not a penalty. It's just that is the retort you get to, well, Jalen beat this quarterback or Jalen won this game. Teams win games. And the quarterback that has more around him is probably more likely to win the game.
It's not a penalty. I'm going to push back a little bit on
that. And we're off and running. Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like. When we talk about Jalen, that's the crutch that people use. Nobody says that Joe Montana.
But I think
nobody says that about Peyton Manning.
The crutch is he wins these games head to head. Quarterbacks don't win head to head games. That's the crutch to me.
But this is how I look at it. That should never be a part of anybody's conversation.
But
when you talk about quarterback play.
Yeah.
Because it becomes a thing because you're looking at Jalen as a lesser quarterback because of the accomplishments of those other guys. But those other guys had athletes around them as well. They've had players around them that are Hall of Fame players. Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison.
He had
a really good defense that they played with.
I agree.
They had a really good defense.
And that's why they win. But I think the winning is separate from their production or how they play on the field. Like the winning, we all agree, is the number one most important thing. But when we're comparing somebody versus another guy, the winning shouldn't be a part of it. Like they are one player on a roster of 53 guys, of 11 guys, 22. Like all of those things they contribute a lot more to whether or not somebody wins. And the quarterback, granted, could be one of the more important things. But when you put it in a vacuum, it's a little bit harder to analyze one guy versus the other.
I'm going to ask a question rhetorically, and you can respond if you want. I'm just going to throw it out there. Like, this is the way I think of it. Let's put Mahomes on the side for a second, right?
He's out. You're okay.
He's the best quarterback in football.
Mm-hmm.
Allen, Burrow, Lamar. I'm comfortable putting them near the top of the league. You can rank them wherever you want, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm comfortable without a ring, without a ring, just watching them play. They're great players. Would anyone be fighting that Jalen is 2 or 3 or 4 without the ring?
Would anybody be fighting to say
it feels like the ring is the only reason Jalen is put in the conversation with them.
And I think that to me is important.
Yeah, well, it is important, but is it? It's almost. It feels like it's carrying too much weight in the conversation.
Well, but to me, it carries all the weight. It carries all the weight because look at what Jalen has been able to accomplish. With the if you want to use this argument, with the talent that he's amassed,
maximized it.
He's taken full advantage of his situation.
The Eagles, I'll say it this way, with him, they have not underperformed. Right? They drafted him. They put a lot around him. And if you told me that when it started, two Super Bowl trips and a championship over the Chiefs, I would have said we achieved what we were supposed to achieve.
Let me just sum it up in a nutshell how I perceive it. You played a hand you're dealt, right?
Yeah.
Jalen he's been dealt a really damn good hand.
Like Troy Aikman back in the day.
And he's taking full advantage
Absolutely.
Of that. And for whatever reason, and I'm glad you brought Troy Aikman up, because when we talk about Troy Aikman and his accolades, we never say, I never hear anybody say, well, he had Emmitt Smith or he had that offensive line. I always hear, oh, Troy Aikman was a hell of a quarterback, and that's it. But when we talk about Jalen, to validate whatever argument that you have, it's always, well, he's playing with a stacked roster. So in my mind, you're penalizing Jalen because how is the Hall of Fame GM?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So I feel like we say that about Aikman all the time, though.
Huh?
Aikman always gets the he had Emmitt. He had the O-line. Like, Aikman, I think, is the lesser of the big three on that team.
You know what? When I hear them talk about the Dallas Cowboys, I hear triplets. I don't hear one triplet was he was the redhead stepchild or anything like that. I always hear them talked about in the same breath.
I don't think anyone puts Aikman in the class of Emmitt or Michael Irvin. And they should.
Aikman's in the Hall of Fame, though.
No, but and that's wonderful. But Eli Manning's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, again. I mean, look, if this continues, Jalen's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, we can parse that.
Right. Like, and awesome.
Like, and he'll earn that.
That'll make him a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's great.
Yeah, Russell Wilson might. I mean, if you earn it, you earn it. Let's go to Big V in Mount Laurel. Big V, what's up?
Yo, what's happening?
Big V.
Oh, my goodness.
Roller coaster?
He's a disaster.
Jitterbug.
I mean,
cricket.
Come on.
Cricket.
All right, you know what? Let's grab Jay in Philly. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, fellas?
Jay, what's up?
Hey, man. So real quick, man. Like about the fans that defend Jalen so hard, man. You gotta give us a break, man. Like Philadelphia is an underdog city, and this dude is the best version of our city that we've ever had. His story matches our city. We're in between New York, which has money, and D.C., which has power and politicians. People overlook Philadelphia all the time, the same way they did Jalen. So that's one reason why we identify with him so freaking much, because of his story matches our city.
Well, I like that aspect. I mean, also, you throw in his own draft class, right? He's the fifth quarterback taken, and he's winning more than all the rest
of
them. Yep.
Exactly. Part of his story. Rocky is a made-up character, and people love it. We have Joe Frazier, Bernard Hopkins. We have champions, and people look at that. That's crazy. That's crazy, man. So that's a whole other thing about Philly. We have Philly fighters that are great. People know Rocky. This is ridiculous. But anyway, so Jalen, you have John Elway was getting his head knocked off in Super Bowls before they went to defense and running with Terrell Davis.
Yep.
And they don't talk about him getting his head knocked off in Super Bowls before they changed everything. Peyton Manning was throwing ducks and won a Super Bowl with a great defense and a great offense. They don't talk about that. When my man gets brought up, everybody who doesn't like him wants to talk about that. There's a show that loves the Phillies that's on WIP. They throw shots at Jalen all the time. Snotty little marks, man. It's crazy. We even got to hear it on WIP. It's ridiculous. And to say that Troy Aikman, they always talk about the talent around him, that's not true. Very, very
yes, it
rarely
is.
Do they talk about the talent around him. Very rarely. Maybe
so they should. Say, so Jay, they should,
exactly.
Right? All right,
exactly.
maybe we're all having different conversations with different people, but I think it's similar, which, I find ironic, that the Eagles now have become a version of what the Cowboys were 30 years ago, which makes me laugh that's what they've become.
But I do think it's similar
to where Aikman was really good, and he was a winner, and he was a champion, but it is part of the story that Aikman's team was loaded, and now we got a loaded team with Jalen.
But Jalen went to – but the difference is they played the same way and they grew together. And Aikman was a number one pick.
Yes, he was. That's true. Yep.
So it's different. Jalen went to a Super Bowl with Miles Sanders, running a whole different offense than he runs now. And if it wasn't for a horrible call, who knows how that Super Bowl would go. It changes everything completely. But you can't blame that on Jalen. Had a great run that Super Bowl. He just lost the Super Bowl. He had a great run the next Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl, okay? So now you got guys like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, they love Aaron Rodgers. He throws the ball so pretty. He got one Super Bowl win, though. How many years he been in the NFL?
Josh well, Allen, he's been in the NFL like about that. 20 years. And you, listen.
Exactly.
You,
20 exactly.
Yeah, exactly. He's been around forever, and I'm ready for him to go home. And Jay, we appreciate it. Rodgers did win 4 league MVPs.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, I'm not, you know, Rodgers.
I mean,
at this point, it's time to go home. Yeah. He was a 4-time league.
It's time to go
home. It is time to go
if,
home.
If you do yourself and you Google most overrated quarterbacks of all time, like any list,
Aikman.
Troy Aikman's on it. Like he's talked about that way.
Are you shadowing the foreshadowing the future that Jalen?
Well,
on overrated list.
I hope not. I'm just saying, like, because now for some reason Hugh and other people are saying nobody ever brings that up with Troy Aikman. It's brought up all the time.
I've never heard that argument about Troy Aikman.
I mean,
there's so many different like nobody. Okay, if that you want to do that one, how about Joe Montana? Joe Montana.
Hugh. He won multiple Super Bowls without Jerry Rice.
Let me finish though. Joe Montana came in an era where they was, what was it, the run and shoot, the Eric Coryell era, where they were throwing the ball over the place. And they adapted the game to his game because he wasn't that strong-armed quarterback.
Walsh, Bill Walsh changed the
offense. And he became the standard, the West Coast offense standard.
Yeah, because he won multiple MVPs. He's a great quarterback.
Listen to what I'm saying. He had great players around him. He had a good tight end. I can't remember the tight end's name. Had a good tight end. And had Jerry Rice,
sure.
And he had a running game.
He won without Jerry Rice, though.
But the point is this: he had talent around him, though, Kyle. He had talent around him,
but not like this. Like Joe Montana, Joe Montana was the talent.
Again, Jalen's being penalized.
He's not
because how
nobody's penalizing
him. He's being penalized because Howie is a Hall of Fame.
It's not a penalty.
We'll keep this never goes away. So
it's never going to be
215-592-9494 to hop in. Hugh thinks Eagles going to have a hangover. Our daily Jalen Hurts debate broke out all of a sudden. The Phillies, of course, are struggling. Elliot Shore Parks is going to join us on the other side. His takeaway from minicamp, what he heard from Sirianni and Saquon and Hurts, all coming up. Next, 215-592-9494, leading off in a little bit before the Phillies and the Cubs, broadcasting live from the DeVore Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This Father's Day, give Dad the gift of grilling greatness. It's grilling season, everybody, and there's no better way to celebrate with Dad than grilling up some Hatfield marinated pork tenderloins. They're packed with flavor, easy to cook, and guaranteed to make Dad feel like the king of the cookout. They have Tuscan herb. They have honey garlic teriyaki, lemon garlic. There are flavors to match every dad's taste. Make this Father's Day one to remember. Visit simplyhatfield.com and put some Hatfield pork on Dad's fork.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, broadcasting live from the DeVore Heart and Lung broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. Phillies and the Cubs today, the finale of the three-game set. Kobe Dean set to throw out the first pitch. This was the day last year, not the date, but the game. You threw out the first
HBCU
pitch.
HBCU day.
Yes.
Yeah, so I saw a lot of the sororities and fraternities
saw
around.
Saw the band walk by
some yesterday. Some of my sorors, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. So, yeah, Zetas are here. So, yeah, it's going to be a nice day.
Yeah, it's beautiful weather. It's going to be a fun day. Hopefully a Phillies win. We'll get to leading off coming up in a little bit. Lizardo on the mound today. They need a bounce back out of him. Though the Philadelphia Eagles, not trying to bounce back. They're trying to sustain this thing. Minicamp, OTAs, that's all in the books. Yesterday had the mandatory minicamp. Perfect attendance. We know someone that was there. His name is Elliot Shore Parks. He is brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how you doing today?
Hello.
Man, I'm excited to talk to you guys. A little bit sad that, you know, it's now 6 long weeks until I get to watch the Eagles practice again. But it was an eventful day, so excited to talk to you guys about it.
So I'm curious, what were some of the things that stuck out to you? You know, it was a one-day mini camp or whatever. But how was the aura around the building. Yeah.
It's great. I mean, you know, you look around the league at all the drama with other teams. The Bengals can't sign their first round pick. And really, I think if you want to look at it, like Terry McLaurin, not at camp. TJ Watt, not at camp. Hendrickson, not at camp. Micah Parsons, not at camp. The Eagles had full participation. And, you know, to go back to the Bengals thing, like, I think a great look at the difference between the culture in Philadelphia and the culture in Cincinnati is Jahad Campbell is currently injured, coming off of surgery, is unsigned, and was out there doing individual drills. Meanwhile, the Bengals' first-round pick is presumably healthy and not practicing because of a contract thing. So
he's trying to get his bread.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I think the Bengals are in the wrong. But the point I'm making is right now, coming off a Super Bowl, like the Eagles are really clicking on all cylinders, and there's just not much drama at all, really, with the team going on.
Elliot, one thing I thought was notable, well, it's a couple things. One, perfect attendance, which is what you want to see, especially with just a one-day mini camp. But hopefully everyone could get there. They did. The second thing is just the way they're talking about approaching this season, because one thing, Elliot, that I'm not worried about, Hugh is a little bit, is the idea of a hangover off the Super Bowl. I think they are uniquely built to not have a hangover in terms of the people they have doing it to, you know, going to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, all the kids they've drafted from all these huge programs that are used to this, you know, Jalen Hurts' personality. They may not be as good just because of the schedule or they lost a lot of good players, but I don't worry about a hangover mentally, do you?
Yeah, I don't see how you couldn't. I mean, in 2022, they kind of burst onto the scene. Jalen has his career year. They make the Super Bowl. Granted, they lose it, which is a difference, but in 2023, they have an epic collapse. Apps Jay has a bad year. So I'm not saying that's what I'm predicting, but I think for anybody to think they know what's going to happen, I think is tough, because we have seen this team only once come off of a successful season, and they followed it up with one of the more disappointing seasons in franchise history. Obviously not in terms of wins, but just in terms of expectation versus what happened. So I think time will tell how this team deals with success. I agree. They are built with hard workers. AJ, Jalen, Saquon, Devontae, they all come from great programs. They're used to, you know, working all the time. So I understand your point, but I think you're also ignoring a little bit what happened in 2023, which, you know, Jalen gets voted the second best player in the NFL by his peers. And then I don't even think he was on the list the next year, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I think time will tell how they handle it.
Elliot, what stood out to you from the actual on the field stuff yesterday? You know, who stood out and kind of who made a lasting impression on you as we go into this little time without the Eagles
hiatus,
for about 6 weeks? Hiatus for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say the player that impressed me the most yesterday, but also the player that needed to impress his coaches, and I think did yesterday, was Kelee Ringo. I think Kelee had an outstanding day of practice. There was three reps I can think of that really stood out. One was breaking up a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. It was a nice throw from Tanner McKee. He was covered. I believe it was Terrace Marshall that he was up against. He met the ball at the high point and knocked it away to prevent a touchdown. He prevented another touchdown in a similar tight play on the other corner of the end zone. But his best rep might have been one-on-one, seven-on-seven drill versus A.J. Brown, single coverage on the left sideline. When the ball was snapped, I don't know where Jalen was trying to go with it, but I certainly saw him look AJ's way thinking that would be an attractive option. But Kelee was right there with him, stride for stride, down the sideline. The ball wasn't even thrown. And what stands out about Kelee when you look at him compared to all the defenders, even the ones we know are going to be starters, is he is just a level of athlete no one else in the secondary is. He's bigger, he's faster, and he's stronger than everybody else that they have. So we will see if he ends up winning the job, but on days like yesterday, it's hard not to picture him winning the job.
Elliot Shore-Parks with us here talking about minicamp as the Eagles have that yesterday in the OTAs now and everything in the books. All right, Elliot, where do you come down on the three potentially available defensive veterans that have been big-time players in the NFL? One is a free agent, Jair Alexander. The other two, contract issues, Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati. That one seems like it's going to end poorly for the team and him, you know, in terms of staying together. And then TJ Watt looks like he might hold out here in Pittsburgh. If you had to rank the three in terms of likelihood the Eagles get involved, how would you rank them? And then do you think any are actually likely to land as Eagles?
So the ranking of most likely to least likely, I would say you would probably have to put Jair Alexander on top just because he is a free agent. So there's no draft compensation involved there, and his contract will be considerably lower than the other two. Then I would say Trey Hendrickson. And I think TJ Watt is probably unlikely. The deal he's going to demand, Pittsburgh just signed Aaron Rodgers, which will be a disaster, to be clear, but it is a win now move. So, you know, trading Watt would be a weird decision to make. So, you know, and then in terms of what I would do, I think Trey Hendrickson would be the one. I'm high on Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt. I think Aziz Ojulari is going to be good, but none of them are proven. And Trey Hendrickson is, you know, I think led the league in sacks each of the last 2 years. He was third in total pressures last year. He's not somebody that I think is going to cost as much money as maybe he would have 2 months ago. He's in his 30s. You look at players of his caliber in their 30s, they just don't sign like $90 million deals. So I think Trey Hendrickson is possible for sure. But I would say overall, you know, Jaire Alexander would be the most likely because he is a free agent.
You know what? I'm kind of curious, Elliot, because, you know, we know the main characters offensively who are going to be, you know, the guy, the standouts, if you will. Was there anybody offensively, yeah, like the running back or somebody that you looked at and be like, hey, this guy might get a little bit of a run?
So there was I thought the backup receivers ended up having a good kind of 3-day practice, obviously including the OTA practice we watched. Like Jahan Dotson, I think looks really good. Switched to number 2, which I think is just a way better number for him. But you just think about last year, you know, he gets traded from Washington to the Eagles right before the start. Yeah, it's a great number. It's my favorite number. I wish Jalen would have stayed in it, honestly. But regardless, like great number 2 on Jahan. But you think about last year when he got traded from Washington to Philadelphia, like I've obviously never been traded, you know, but I can only imagine like you have to move. You're on a new team. You're in a new city. You have to learn a new, you know, kind of how you want to go about your daily life. Like, so this year he's just way more comfortable in just everything, the offense, the city, the team, the culture. And I think it shows when you watch him out on the field. He's catching everything thrown his way. Jalen's throwing it to him quite a bit. So I think Jahan's had a really good good few practices. And then the other two receivers would be Terrace Marshall and Danny Gray. Danny Gray, a third-round pick in 2022. Terrace Marshall, I believe, was a high second-round pick a few years ago. So both have draft pedigree. The Eagles need backups. Like, they really only have those top three and then not much else. So I thought the backup receivers stood out.
Elliot, let's end with this. The Chris Sims quarterback list came out yesterday. I think we last time we brought this kind of thing up with you was the PFF list. So he was number 5 on the PFF list a few weeks ago. Sims had him at number 10 and talked a little bit about, you know, decision-making, holding on to the football, some of the negatives. Obviously, a lot of the positives there, too, as he broke them down. What's your reaction to where Sims had him? And just overall, as we try to, like, place Jalen now in the NFL quarterback list after last year, how much do you think we should look at the regular season compared to just the final two games? Because I feel like that's where the plot is being lost. Like, I looked at Sims' list, Elliot, and I said, if that was the regular season, it's more than fair. I mean, it's a more than fair ranking based on what he was last year. You add in the postseason, and that's where it's like, really? He's behind Herbert. He's behind, you know, C.J. Stroud. It feels like how much weight we give to the final two games is really guiding everything about how we argue about these lists.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing I would say is, and this is not a popular opinion, but I'm going to defend Chris Sims here. I feel like he always gets ripped when it comes to Jalen, and he was ultimately wrong about Jalen. He didn't think he'd be as good as Jalen is, and he's admitted that. He now has him as the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, right? So I agree with you. I do think that, you know, if you were to look at just the regular season, that I think 10 is fair for Jalen. You could argue 2 or 3 spots lower. You could argue a spot or 2 higher, but I think 10 is fair. But we cannot say the postseason is the most important thing for all athletes. Like, let's use Joel here, right? Joel has been an unbelievable regular season player. But in the playoffs, he's not been as good. He's not had success. And so everybody in Philadelphia would tell you that matters more to them. So while, yes, Jalen didn't have an outstanding regular season, and there were definitely stretches where he struggled, and on all those things are true, the games that mattered more, he was not the 10th best quarterback in the NFL. He was arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. So I would have Jalen second on my rankings. I think you could put him 5th or 6th, and like, it's not crazy. I definitely think 10th is over punishing him for the regular season. And I do think it's like not giving enough credit to what he did in the biggest games.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I feel like it's too far that way, and then I think too far is two is too far the other way, but five or six probably feels like the middle ground we all should be at. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. What's the what do you do now? Like, where's your brain?
Yeah,
where's
vacation?
6 weeks?
You going anywhere? What you got?
Oh yeah, I got a big trip planned. I'm going to Portugal, Wales, and Luxembourg in July. So excited for that. And look, outside of that, it's getting ready for training camp. I already have a list here of making sure I have a new soccer kit for each day of practice. I never duplicate kits in all the years I've done it. So got to make sure I have at least 20 new kits to get ready and get in shape, get tan, and get my notepad ready to track stats.
Get in shape and get tan.
Now, do you have the notebook ready, the sunglasses, or is that like the week before you get all that stuff ready to go?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
So I did buy fresh notebooks yesterday, so I'll be good to go. I also just got a nice pair of sunglasses. I've been saving up for them for a while, so I'm excited for those. So I'm good on those too. It's mostly just getting my kits right.
I was going to ask you what kind, but
Italian
you said you
made,
save up for them.
No,
I don't need those. I'm going to get them $2 glasses from the gas station.
I was going to say, it's not a $40 coat, So, although I feel like we're on different ends of where we should be spending right now.
No,
so maybe I'll start.
I live vicariously through you, L. You dress great, man. You're a great dresser. Great dresser.
I appreciate it.
All right, Ellie. We appreciate it. Have a good day, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
There we go. Elliot Shore Parks there with his assessment. The Ringo thing is
interesting.
It's good news.
I mean,
that is a spot, Hugh, I feel like is – it's just flying under the radar as a – I wouldn't even call it a weakness. It's just an unknown, right? I don't know what Kelee Ringo is. But, frankly, the Eagles haven't put him on the field enough for us to know. And then I feel like I know what a Dory Jackson is. He's fine. I don't think if they put him on the field, he's going to ruin the season. But I also don't think he's going to be – very good. Like, he strikes me as a journeyman. He's just there. I would like to see Ringo win the job. That would excite me, because that would mean he's ready, and maybe we have a building block with him and Quinyon and Cooper for years to come.
Yeah, because he's one of the young guys. He's one of the young Thundercats, and he's somebody that we want to be able to depend on.
Yep.
And not only that, he's been in the system. He's been in the system long enough, and you want guys that you're comfortable with. And it feels like that he's taken enough reps that if he is ready to go, he's the more comfortable choice, because the other guys just got here and you don't know that much about him. So, hopefully he gets to take over the just starting job.
I'll also say the Dotson thing is intriguing and interesting, because I've been saying this for a few years. The Eagles have had pretty remarkable health at wide receiver with Devontae and AJ, right? Mm-hmm. I know AJ got banged up a little bit in the playoffs last year. He wasn't maybe running the way he used to. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, those guys don't miss games. Like, they don't have – and we'll keep crossing our fingers, right, because they're great players. But AJ and Devontae, they don't miss –
they've been pretty durable.
Yeah, they don't miss 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time. But if they did, which, I mean, at some point every player gets banged up, right? Someone's got to catch the football. Someone's got to – and Dotson, they traded for him last year. He's a former first-round pick. He's his contract year. It's a big deal if he can do more this year and be the guy.
Be more of a contributor.
Yeah, because it really doesn't feel like they have three receivers. It feels like at most times they just have the two big ones and the other guy's just there.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. You want to have as many weapons as you possibly can ready to go, just in case somebody does get hurt, because durability and availability has been a huge asset for the Eagles in their success that they had last year.
And it's been for years with those two receivers. I mean, they've gotten their money's worth. They've got a lot of games, a lot of snaps out of those guys. All right, I think the bat signal went up. Let's grab OG Wade. OG, how we doing today?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG, we're good. What are you feeling today?
I'm, I just want us to have a conversation, and I don't want, I'm going to say something that y'all ain't going to disagree with.
Okay.
Now, I'm glad you just put up that point, both you and Hugh, about the health of the receivers, right? Oh, they've been healthy for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that because everybody's saying Jalen Hurts has a stacked roster, and this is why he should have done more with the passing game. Do you know that collectively, Goddard and Smitty and AJ played a total of 5 games on the field last year out of the 17? Five games.
You're saying together?
Yes. Smitty missed 4 games. AJ missed 3. Dallas missed 7 or 10. You see what I'm saying? So that will affect where you're ranking. And yet, like Kyle talking about, oh, they're 29th ranked passing. Okay. And this is to Brian Dawkins as well. When you have your team, the guys that's supposed to be catching the ball in the offense consistently there, you can be more consistent like you was in the Super Bowl. But when these guys are in and out of the lineup and you don't even have them for only 5 games in a season, that's going to affect your passing game and numbers. You see what I'm saying?
I think that's fair. I mean, but that's the reality of the NFL, right? Guys miss time. I mean, for Mahomes, Rashee Rice was out for the season.
Right, but we all have to keep in. When you're talking about Jalen, the one thing I hear a lot about Jalen is if you do this, if you do that. It's not, we're talking about what he did do. But what y'all do is y'all say, well, if you put another quarterback with, that's not what, because now you're saying to me that other receivers miss games as well.
Right.
And that's fair, a fair statement. But there's a resolve to it. There's a reason why it happened. So I don't want to get too deep into that, but that's my point there on that. And I hear people talk about Bryce Harper, how great he is, a player. Okay, and the Phillies only losing or not winning the championship is because they don't have enough players. So with Jalen, he has the players that he needs, and that's why he wins. So how is it a plus or not a minus for Bryce Harper? But it's a minus for Jalen because he has weapons.
So a couple things. One, Harper's been better as an individual in his sport. He's got 2 MVPs. Jalen Hurts doesn't have an MVP. Like, he's not been as good of a player in his individually. Now, the team, OG, the Phillies are not as good as the Eagles. They don't have as many good players around Harper as the Eagles have around Jalen. I mean, we're complaining about the team every day. They don't have a lot of great players here.
And that's my point. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that's why they're saying the Phillies don't win is because they don't have the players. So my point is we're criticizing Jalen for having the players and win because you said that the only reason why you got Jalen Hurts is getting is being overrated is because of the ring. Well, why are you rating Patrick Mahomes as the number one quarterback? Because of his rings, correct?
Because he's been a brilliant player for 8 years.
But it's because of his rings, correct?
He's been to 5 Super Bowls.
I
understand that, Joe. I understand what you're saying.
I guess the difference is, OG, I'll go back to something I said last year. Patrick Mahomes is the driving force of the Chiefs from the minute he got under center.
Let me help you out,
OG, a little bit. The reason why I feel, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, is that Patrick Mahomes, the mystique that was surrounding Patrick Mahomes when he came into the league, Andy Reid traded up for Patrick Mahomes, right, when they already had a pretty good quarterback. And when they got him, a lot of people felt like, you know, they reached for him because he wasn't a great quarterback in college. And then when he came into the league, he started making sidearm throws, some of the phenomenal throws that he was making.
50 touchdowns.
Yeah, and so that was the mystique. And I think, to your point, there's a little bit of a stigma on Jalen because he's a lower-round draft pick. Not that low. He's a second-round draft pick. But it's – People are enamored by the number one picks and some of the stuff that they do. So there's a little bit of that to it as well.
I just think, and OG, we appreciate it. I just think it's just simple for me. Sunday to Sunday, some quarterbacks seem to dominate more than others. That hasn't been Jalen. I mean,
And nobody's doing themselves any favors by comparing Jalen to Montana and Mahomes. Like, can we stop doing that? We can all have
– I thought we would, but we are going there.
No, because they had talent around them. And that is the gist of our argument because I look at it like this, Kyle. When you tell me that, and never mind, forget it. I don't even want to. Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Let's just.
you don't want this smoke, buddy.
Hey, no. Kyle, we're going to do this all summer. So don't even worry about it.
All right, anyway. Coming up, we'll yell about the Phillies, leading off as we get set for the Phillies and Cubs. This one, I'm going to tell you why today is a huge day for Dave Dombrowski. That's coming up, leading off. We're live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Winning on the field starts with how you recover off the field. And nobody helps you bounce back like my team at the Mattress Warehouse. You can celebrate the 4th of July this year with big savings at Mattress Warehouse, up to $1,200 warehouse-wide. Right now, you can save hot $500 on Tempur-Pedic's best-selling Breeze mattresses designed to fill up to 10 degrees cooler all night, every night. Now, that's pretty cool, people, to have a bed because, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I like sleeping on a cool mattress because it just feels so much better. And right now, Mattress Warehouse has mattresses for everybody and every budget with 40 different models under $799. So if you're one of those individuals that don't like to spend like a whole lot of money like I am, that's a great deal for you. Do what I did. Come in today and sleep better tonight during the Mattress Warehouse 4th of July sale. Shop their entire selection and find a location nearest you at mattresswarehouse.com, mattresswarehouse.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.